Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. We're in chapter 5. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, this is God's word. Jesus responded to them, "My Father is still working, and I am working also." This is why the Jews began trying all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wants. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, I tell you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted to the Son to have life in himself. And he has granted him the right to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who've done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of condemnation. I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies about me, and I know that the testimony he gives about me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. I don't receive human testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. John was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But I have a greater testimony than John's because of the works that the Father has given me to accomplish. These very works I am doing testify about me that the Father has sent me. The Father who sent me has himself testified about me. You have not heard his voice at any time, and you haven't seen his form. You don't have his word residing in you because you don't believe the one he sent. You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, yet they testify about me. But you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life. I do not accept glory from people, but I know you, that you have no love for God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and yet you don't accept me. If someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe, since you accept glory from one another, but don't seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote about me. But if you don't believe what he wrote, how will you believe my words? May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I want to talk today about the humility of the King of Kings. When I was in college, my roommate and I used to joke occasionally about the book that I had written. I didn't really write it. It was a joke. Notice I said joke. Humility and how I achieve it. Okay? Billy Graham's father-in-law, Dr. L. Nelson Bell, used to tell a story about a preacher whose congregation just loved and admired him so much that they gave him a medallion for his humility, but then had to take it away from him because he wore it. C.S. Lewis said that the problem with humility is the minute you think you're starting to get it, you become proud of it. So what do we do with Jesus? Jesus has people who are out to kill him because of the things that he says about himself. I mean, there was more to it than that. They were jealous of him. They saw their power structure threatened by the crowds going after Jesus. But they accused him of blasphemy. And the fact is, if the things Jesus said about himself were not true, they would be blasphemous. For anyone else to say what Jesus said would be blasphemy and, honestly, worthy of death. But the problem is, Jesus was telling the truth. And when it's true, then it's not blasphemy. And what Jesus says in this passage is amazing. But he says it in all humility. Look at verse 19. Truly, I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. Look at verse 30. I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus is totally subject to the Father. And because of that, he can speak with absolute authority. Because what he is saying is not something he came up with. He is saying what the Father has given him to say. And he will repeat this theme elsewhere in this gospel. He only does what the Father tells him to do. He only says what the Father tells him to say. Folks, that is the nature of authority. And we live in a culture that has no clue about authority. We regard authority as being some bad thing. We don't want people to be in authority. Our ancestors overthrew the yoke of Great Britain because we felt that the king was being unfair. But if you go back and you look at that Declaration of Independence, you will notice it is not just a declaration of independence, it is a declaration of dependence on God. They said, the one who was ruling over us has lost his right to rule. Therefore, we are going to establish a new rule under God, depending on him, trusting in him.
Pastor Wood, are you seriously trying to suggest that all the founders of this nation were a bunch of Christians?
No, I am absolutely not saying that. What I am saying is that even the non-Christians understood that you can't be in authority unless you're under authority. Jesus doesn't just teach us about authority here. He teaches us about who he is.
Jesus isn't just giving us life lessons, tips for a better marriage, how to be a better parent. Jesus is revealing himself, and these people are refusing to accept it because it goes against their system, and it goes against their flesh. Remember that this all started because they got upset over Jesus violating not God's law, but their law. They had rules about what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath, and Jesus wouldn't keep their rules. Jesus was not rebelling. He was simply obeying the Father. And their rules were not in line with the Father's will. And so Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath, and they got bent out of shape about it. Now, if you remember back in John chapter 3, one of the leading Pharisees, a man by the name of Nicodemus, came to Jesus at night and said, look, we know that you've been sent by God because there's no other explanation for the things that you do. Got that? Everybody knew it. It's just that a whole lot of them didn't like it. And Jesus deals with that here. He says, if you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. You can say that you love God, but the proof is in how you respond to Jesus. I've heard people say, well, you know, I believe in God. I'm a very spiritual person. I know that there has to be some sort of supreme power, some sort of higher power, some being that must be out there, some great intelligence. I believe that, but I just can't accept Jesus. Do you know what the big rub is for many of them? If Jesus really said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, that is too narrow. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people who just can't accept that. They want to believe, because they're going along with the crowd, that the crowd is headed in the right direction. And Jesus says, no, if you're going with the crowd, you're heading in the wrong direction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Jesus says, there's no other way. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Paul, speaking to the folks in Athens, says in the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he's commanding everyone everywhere to repent. Well, I just don't like that. Well, you know, when I was younger, I didn't like being 6 feet tall. I had hoped for 6'4". I really had. My older brother was 6'1", and he had a friend who was 6'4", and I thought, I want to be like that. Didn't work. You don't get a vote. There's a whole lot of stuff you and I don't get to vote over. Amy Carmichael desperately wanted blue eyes. She was a little Irish girl. And blue-eyed kids were pretty. Brown-eyed kids were like mud. She was so disappointed. But she was a precious little Christian. And she would pray. She would pray earnestly day after day that God would change her eyes and make them blue. And she found in the scriptures where God said, if you ask in my name, I'll do it for you. And she, not understanding the rest of the scriptures, claimed that verse and just believed God for blue eyes and got up in the morning, heart full of faith. Jesus had said, just believe it, okay? Just believe it. Again, a verse ripped out of context. And she got up in the morning and she looked in the mirror and her eyes were brown. I don't understand it. Why won't God answer my prayer?
Well, it turned out the reason God didn't answer her prayer was because God had already planned what she was going to be doing with her life, which was serving him in India, where she would be able to disguise herself as an Indian woman and go into the temples where children were being sold and used for prostitution. And she was able to rescue those children because she could pass as an Indian. Couldn't do it if she had blue eyes. At least not back then. Certainly not as easily. She would have been much more obvious. But as a brown-eyed person with a veil, she could get in and out and in and out and in and out and rescued countless children. There's a whole lot of stuff you and I have no control over. God knows how many heartbeats I've got left. He knows how many you have too. He's already appointed the day and the hour when he'll call us home, and nothing is hidden from him. Our days are numbered. But when you understand that, it gives tremendous peace, doesn't it? You know that God's in control. I'm okay. So, Jesus. Jesus says, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wants. Now hold on, I thought he's not able to do anything on his own. He can do whatever the Father tells him to do, and if the Father says, you decide, then he can do as he chooses. Why? Because he has authority. Well, where did he get that authority? From the Father. Authority is bestowed. Jesus said the Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son so that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Please hear that phrase. So that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And then he says something absolutely amazing. Truly I tell you, verse 24, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Do you understand if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you don't just have the hope of eternal life, you have eternal life. I'm not just hoping that someday I'll do okay in the judgment. Jesus says, I'm not going to come under judgment. I've passed from death to life. Well, now wait a minute. Isn't there a passage in Paul where he talks about being judged according to what we've done? Yeah, that's a different kind of judgment. And if you read the rest of the passage, what it says is going to be determined there is not where we spend eternity, but what kind of rewards we're going to get. And if we built with gold and silver and precious stones, we're going to have wonderful rewards. And if we built with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to get burned up, but we'll still get in. Okay? God promises that if you're trusting in him, you have eternal life, and you don't have to stand in fear of the judgment because Jesus took your punishment at the cross. The Bible says everything that stood against us was nailed to that cross. He took the punishment we deserve so that we could now have eternal life. Just as the Father has life in himself, verse 26, so he's also granted the Son to have life in himself. You and I are blessed beyond measure. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, whatever your other circumstances are, you need to know that you're in a position of extraordinary blessing, because any problems we have in this life are temporary. And Jesus speaks to these people and he tells them, you pore over the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these scriptures testify about me. but you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life. Go look back up in verse 34. Jesus says, I say these things so that you may be saved. Do you see, God is reaching out and saying, believe and receive. I'm offering you life. I'm offering you eternal life. But the response of unregenerate people is to say, no, no, no. Refusing to believe and to receive the life that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus says of them, and this is a very stern thing. Verse 42, he says, I know you. You have no love for God within you. That is a description of the unregenerate heart. That's not what some people are like. That's what all of us were like before we were born again. And being born again, remember John chapter 3, the conversation with Nicodemus. Being born again is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is God who regenerates us. It is God who gives us new life. So if you say, honestly, Pastor, I hate authority. I don't like to submit to the authorities that God has put in my life. It just absolutely chafes. Repent. If you say, well, you know, if I'm honest, I have to admit, I don't really love God. I know I should love God. I wanna love God, but I don't love God. Then cry out to God and ask him to save you. Ask him to have mercy on you. Because none of us started out saved. When I ask somebody to share with me about their Christian faith and they say, well, I've been a Christian all my life, I immediately start praying in a whole different way. Well, I've always been a Christian. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Because Jesus says, you must be born again. Now, not everybody's experience is the same. You don't have to have a dramatic Damascus Road type of experience. But you do need to have come to the point where you realize, I am really messed up. And I have violated God's law, and I need to be saved, and I can't save myself. And in that condition, as God the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, you cry out to him for mercy, and you ask him to save you, and he does. It is his work to bring you to that point where you recognize things are not right and I need salvation. If you've never experienced that, I plead with you, while you have the opportunity, call out to him for mercy. Ask him to change your heart. Do not cling to your rebellion and say, well, that's just the way I am. I can't help it. I grew up that way. That's the way my family is. How would that work if I said, you know, I can't help it. I grew up in a family of murderers. We just from time to time lose our temper and kill people. Okay? Just deal with it. And that's the way I am. No. What if I said that about lying or adultery or any number of other things? Don't cling to your sin. Don't define yourself by your sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our only hope is Jesus. So cry out to the Savior and ask him to save you. And he will. Because you wouldn't be crying out for mercy if God hadn't already begun a work of grace in your heart.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearesvalleyranch.org.